The following interview was conducted on behalf of the Oral History Program of Century High School. The interviewee, Janae Davis, and the interviewer, Samantha Skelly. The interview took place on, what is it, May 20th, 2005.
Okay. So how long have you been in current function though?
In general,
I've been in
conversation
with the and you've been here for 2 years?
Yeah, about 2 years.
Why are you teaching me to do this before? Oh, they are.
I
think so. I'm the banished. So what are you doing before?
The
Yamaha
County Sheriff's Office.
How long were you there for? I was with Yamaha County for about 13 years. So in the time that you've been in Hillsborough, have you seen
Hillsborough change? Yeah, I've seen some change. I've seen some things rise and some things fall as far as crime goes.
And what time of year are you?
Well, a crime that we see in our city, which is not only problematic to our city, but a crime that's really statewide, is the issue of public, or as we've commonly heard in our international map, where they break in quickly, they get out of their car, smash it, grab it, and they run.
What age range is this?
You know, my understanding, we have made some arrests, several arrests, you know, involving car breakers. But what we see is, you know, a lot of times, across the board, we've arrested some juveniles, we've arrested some adults. I don't know exactly what numbers or, you know, percentages there are of them, but, you know, there are some equal accountability for those things.
Has this changed or anything like that?
When I first got here, you know, that's a crime that we deal with, you know, consistently. What I have seen as far as the trend, if you will, is that there are certain areas that crime will, you know, still impact areas more, and that are kind of nomadic and they will come into an area and that it, you know, crime affects the vehicle and they'll hit several cars and then they'll go to an area within the city and do the same thing. Usually not one significant breaking into a car is what we call crime of opportunity. And, you know, what we try to do is take in extensive preventative measures and try to educate people in our city about this particular crime, recognizing where hotspots are in our city. Hotspots mean a focused number, increased number of types of crime occurring. It's a crime of opportunity, and we try to educate our citizens to take that opportunity away. And sometimes people will ask, well, what do you mean? How is that an opportunity? Well, an opportunity to commit a crime like that is leaving things in the vehicle. You know, it used to be in the day and age where, you know, preventative measures were, oh, if you leave a bag in your car, put a blanket over it. You know, the criminals are kind of a little smarter these days. And they say, huh, there's a blanket, there must be something worth value there. Well, what we mean by taking away the opportunity is take everything you do not need in your vehicle out of the vehicle. And that even means exactly down to spare change you could throw right into a console that everybody is supposed to do at one time or another. And I mean, literally, I can't stress that enough. That is one thing we really try to focus in on, is that you have to take that opportunity away. If you have removable face plates on your stereo, take them out. Take the extra time, 2 seconds, to take them out and out of the car, because you want to make your car the less, you know, at least vulnerable as possible.
what methods and programs do you use to educate people on the
class? Well, with that client in particular, we use a whole multitude of different avenues. We utilize our media. We utilize what we call, in the terms of knocking on, one-on-one conversations with people. Like, for instance, our MAC stations, we see a high volume of break-ins, you know, throughout our different MAC parking lots. Right, throughout our MAC parking lots, and that's a good example of what we've done. We've, on several occasions, on different various MAC stations, we've come out with coffee. We have flyers and now for them coffee and here, have a flyer, you know, just a few helpful reminders, you know, about please remove everything from your vehicle. We've written articles in the Argus, you know, just everywhere, like with the community meetings, you know, talking to people, groups, and like I take care of residential crime prevention within the city. And every time I go to a community meeting, I always, without fail, make sure I mention. Take the opportunity away, take everything out of your vehicle, even if it's parked in your driveway or in your garage. So,
is it a big problem with breaking the car?
We've seen an increase in that. You know, breaking into garages or people who have their cars parked in their driveway. We've seen some incidents where cars are broken into and garage door openers will be in the cars, and then, you know, put the garage door open and there you go. Switch and turn, you know, trying to really encourage people to make sure they have that door in the garage and see how locked you are.
What if you could just take out the car? Just make
everything. Everything. What they're looking for a lot is things that are easily to grab and take and change into money, you know, shoot to them for money or for drugs. And then also, people go stealing identities, you know, to look for insurance information, insurance card registration.
So is it like important to show, this my dad would like show the documents that have very important information on it, is that a part of the crime scene?
By no means am I saying shred your registration.
But you know, like things that you can throw out, just don't throw out.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you are throwing out important documents that have your social security number on it, date of birth, anything that has distinguishable identifying data on you or, you know, you or your child, I mean, not your kids, but, you know, your child, it is so imperative that you shred that information and you use not just a strip shredder, but you use a cross-cut shredder. Because even with strip shredders, you know, they shred and they have to, people who are using drugs may stay up all night in their common street transport speaker. It hasn't been beyond a group of speakers who maybe go for somebody's garbage after they've shredded things and use the shredder like that and paste those documents back together. So when you think you're doing the right thing by shredding, make sure you use the shredder too. And you know, even go as far as to if you're going to get rid of that, recycle half of it one week, hold on to the other half, recycle the other half on another day. Make sure you take the opportunity
for that. How do you get the message across to adults to show kids can go to the school? How do you educate about the kind of
crisis? In many ways. I mean, we reach out to our senior community, directly visit assisted living centers, and talk about, you know, elder abuse, fraud, you know, personal safety, adults. We conduct classes with the quality of health education programs, community education classes, which is done for children and adults, you know, two-part portion. We offer multiple free educational classes for adults on different topics of identity theft to have children recognize the child molesters, personal safety, what are gangs, role of police, you know, try and reach out to stuff like that, or even if there's an incident in a neighborhood where there's high crime, one of our principal focuses within our department is very community vision. In keeping with that vision, if we're in your neighborhood and there's a high focus involvement with police, we will do what I said earlier, we'll knock your property. and educate people in the sense that what happened in your neighborhood, because we truly believe and adhere to those principles that you have a right to know what goes on in your city. Bear in mind, you may not be able to know all the details, you know, of maybe a particular incident. Whatever is public record, guaranteed we're going to do what we can to educate you on that. Because we do adhere to those, you know, philosophies that we do have a right to know what goes on. And that's why we're always encouraging people. Call, ask, email, you know, whatever you want. Call and ask questions. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel the children and teenagers are getting enough information about crime prevention and the results of committing crimes in school?
That's kind of a huge question, you know, and I wish I could answer that in a complete sense. What I can tell you from my perspective and what little piece I play in that, you know, parents often will ask me, when you start talking about kids about safety, when you start talking about crime prevention or, you know, understanding crime. Well, as parents, you need to know when you start with crime. You can talk. I talk to preschoolers about prevention through seniors. Are kids getting enough information? I don't think there is ever enough information because, you know, society changes and societal needs and issues change, you know, in time. So I think that it's very important that we continue to evolve our education with evolving needs. We have gang issues, and we need to focus in on how to provide education about what gangs are and how to stay away from gangs and the alternate choices people can make. If there's a drug issue, then we need to bring that drug information, you know, drug resistance information to the targeted affected areas too. I think we do a great job of that, but I think, you know, we can just
doing that and just trying to build on that and bringing in your partners. There's so many different ways to do it. How many of you think that keep understanding the results? Because they understand that if I break into a puzzle, it won't be the best to keep them working
with it. I wish. I really wish. You know, I would love to say in an ideal world that every child understood the philosophy that there are consequences to choices, albeit good or bad. What I can say is that I know that myself and co-workers included try to take that extra time, you know, to talk to kids and they don't make very good choices and explain to them why it wasn't a good choice. You know, our youth service team, especially dealing, you know, with the potentiality of gang membership, you know, in those schools, to really take extensive time to try and talk to those people who are kind of wavering on, you know, on gang involvement versus non-gang involvement. I wish I could say yes, but, you know, it's all, you know, everybody's individual.
I guess I didn't hear very long, but do you think that that children are getting more information about crime than they used to, or maybe less?
Wow. I guess it has a matter of perspective, you know, perspective only. I think that we would continue to do an even better job to give them more information on why you shouldn't make the decision to commit crime. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we're educating
growing
homes is not switch that absolutely. You know, I think in the end, I would have to say, you know, I guess there would probably be some statistical information that could back up the theory against or for, you know, your question. But what I can say in my experience, I've been working with them all for 15 years, I have some kids with some very equitable homes, many different various times. Kids who come from a more determined, less equitable demographic background, who do make friends. So I would say, but again, you know, this is just a whole base of
how do you think there's probably should have three more education for the next and the rest of the time?
I think it's going to be, if anything, I would say it would probably be more so the type of crime, the same minutes, because you know, you have people who are making decisions solving and
developing.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, is it dependent on the amount of education? Maybe just the type of crime, but no.
What methods do you use for them right now?
The terms right now,
spelling and using
methods. Wow. That's kind of a huge question, you know, and I can speak to maybe just a little portion of that because I'm not directly involved in, say, you know, the undercover operations, you know, I'm on the agency drug team, you know, street crime team, you know, I mean, there are so many different facets that go into fighting the drug war. What I can say we do, or some of the measures that we take, is absolutely peer education. You can watch, talking to our community, reaching out to our community, not just a residential community, but our business community, educating them about methods and epidemic everywhere, not just in Hopewell, but it's a statewide epidemic in Oregon. We reach out to all of them, educate them about what to look for our hotel motel industry. We educate them to, you know, what to look for, you know, the possibility of methamphetamine labs that may be rectified in one of the hotel rooms. I mean, talk, educate, aware, you know, communication. That's the method that we have. Hard as a citizen, it's hard because you suspect possibly a drug trafficking movement. It's a hard decision to get involved. But what we have to do, what I do in my job, is I try and educate the citizen as to why you can't not get involved. Because if it's affecting the livability of your neighborhood, what can you do? And I ask my citizens this, what can you do to say we have to change? That's not saying take the problem on yourself. Say what can I do? What you can do is do your call this, let us know so we can do what you can do.
Does your team do anything that is specifically preventing teen people?
I don't deal a lot, you know. I use those teams to be able to ask a lot, and there's other resources like the juvenile department that deals with that. And I know there's been a lot of resources that are available, but you know, personally,
I'm for that message, it's not for the family state. How many people through the first block of the test is not the media doing it? Do you agree with that?
I guess it would be a matter of perspective. You know, I don't know. I don't know why he said, you know, I don't know why he said what he said. You know, I think it's more about, you know, guess you want to know actual statistical about it, you know, sugar intervention, because you know your area of the state has to, you know, prevent issues for each area, you know, is dealing with and you don't know like them.
But he just goes. You think that to what you see it's your job not to problem with that?
Yeah, mess and identity theft is really a lot for people to hear that. they don't use, you know, and if we take meth away, are we going to take it at any time away? Maybe, maybe not. We potentially probably reduce it. Possibly. That's true. Well, that's kind of the real hot topic of debate. You know, I think overall making sure that it's a good thing. You know, I think there's some cases depending on the issues within.
Speeding to, you know, a whole lot of break-ins, you know, car break-ins the other night.
And I would pass that and turn pass that information on, you know, to our officers, and they will develop action plans to try to address both enforcement, you know, the school hours, we can provide a little more education, and it's, you know, that continuing the partnerships are absolutely paramount to try and fight crime. Are we ever going to get rid of the community? But I think that's what we do well. We do work together, and it's because we try and take that extra effort, you know, and make sure that you as citizens understand, you know, take the time to understand and educate, fill you in, fill in the gaps where, you know, many times people who live in different cities may not have those gaps filled in.
How do you feel that your department has enough funding?
You know, I think the most funny is that, you know, I don't know the exact numbers, but you know, I think the more people we can get on our team, the better. I think we will never turn down additional funding.
What are some things you would do if you have more funding in the program?
I think put more patrol officers, you know, on the road, probably.
Program. The little catch there is that both parties need to be agreeable to come to the table.
That's how we train.
Usually it's the people that are, if the neighbors don't work it out, you can set results and
Sometimes, a lot of times not. Our mediation program is very, very successful. We are a key example to others who want to develop mediation programs. It's very unique in the sense that the mediation program runs in a police department. It's not going to succeed. Well, it's been something I just did for me.
What would you like to see something that changed in Hillsboro as far as crime prevention?
I would say, just keep getting involved. People should keep seeing that vision and recognizing that they can make a difference. It's not up to an individual to change a problem or community need or community issue, but just continued education and involvement and communication that, everyone can make a difference in, preventing crime, whether it be calling someone off, or as a community doing things and developing, community action plans themselves, We take action and give notice to legality issues equally like we give notice to criminal issues. We deal with them and recognize them as people. So, in a nutshell, we've been helped. Crime prevention also has been, a very helpful program in the city because we see that as, a problem solving and we have problem solving. We can't do it all for you. We can't do it all for yourself. And being able to kind of tie that knot and build that, build a bridge over that. I think that's successful, and I think we do it very well. I can say that that's something
that's a huge theme song there.
You're talking about what the retailers do, how you're trying to educate them about graffiti. What was that called?
Responsible retailing.
Oh, graffiti retailing.
That's something that we haven't yet introduced to our retailers, but we are gearing up to introduce. Responsible retailing just simply placement of those particular items that people use to graffiti, whether it be spray paint or Sharpies or, and just placement of those products and, keeping a watch over that and identifying people who maybe come and they buy two cases of spray paint, identifying those people.
The people who can't afford the spray paint stuff, do they sometimes steal it?
I'm sure that happens. I'm sure that
happens. For the mediators, how do you train them?
They go through basic mediation and then some have gone through advanced mediation. training, and then you know, they want to learn to become a contact language.
Cyber education.
Yeah, in Instant Images, you know, we have a CARES program that we give to our school. And we come into a seminar at the beginning, you know, that we teach personal safety about the streetwide space. But, you know, the truly growing for us that is continuing to teach everything. That's just as dangerous, if not even more dangerous, because you're out programming and so on, you know, along the internet. And so, you know, we're really developing and being evolving with that kind of connection. You know, I like to see that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.